This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
John Bodenhammer is the Senior Manager, Director of Rules for the USGA. USGA and the RNA earlier this week announcing a set of proposed rule changes to the game. We'll talk about some of those with John. It's a pleasure to welcome John Bodenhammer to the Augusta Golf Show for the very first time. Hello, John.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Been a long time since this many rules have been proposed. How much of this is due to growing the game? How much of this is keeping up with tastes and times? And how much of this would just be the normal course of regulating the game?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things that we thought about in with this initiative. Really, all just started informally about a recognition by the USGA and the RNA that because of a desire over the years to be precise and fair in dealing with every rule situation, the rules have become complex and really maybe unfair in some instances. And so we thought, well, we need to take a look at this, and we need to see if we can find a way to really look at making the rules easier to understand and easier to apply for all golfers. You know, golf is a global game, we think, and that's why we call it a rules modernization project, or an initiative, not a project. It's a rules modernization because we want to look to modernize the rules for today's global game and the needs that global game presents. And so we've endeavored to do that. The USGA and the RNA have started it 5 years ago. We've had input from the tours around the world, the amateur associations and federations in different parts of the world through our rules committee process. We've included other experts and players, and it's been a great process, and now with all this change, we're excited to hear what the world thinks about what we've been working on and what we're thinking, and we're pleased to see that people are providing their feedback starting today, and over the next 6 months, we'll see what they say about these rules proposals.
In your opinion, John, which rule do you think will have the biggest impact on the golfer listening to this program, the middle to high handicapper, plays a couple of times a month?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I'll tell you, John, I wouldn't point to just one as maybe, you know, the most impactful, or I think everybody's going to have one or two or three that they would look to or want to talk about. But here's the way that I guess I would offer as a consideration. I think of this almost the theme of part of many of this as a whole, or much of this as a whole, is if you look at the proposed changes, there's just the elimination of a lot of penalties. I'll give you some examples. Just ball search. Mm-hmm. Player today is searching for his ball and moves it. He's penalized. But you can have a gallery of 1,000 people helping you search, and they might move it, and they're not penalized. We want players searching and looking for their ball and help and speeding up play. And just if you move it, there's no advantage. Just put it back and play on. No penalty. Another one that seemed to be something that would advance things along these lines and eliminating the penalty for ball in motion deflected when it hits you. You know, generally when you're hitting a shot and, you know, you make a stroke and you hit a tree and it comes back and hits you, today there's a penalty. Under these proposed rules, there wouldn't be. It's an accident. It's random. You know, if you hit that shot and make that stroke and hits a tree and hits your fellow competitor, there's no penalty. You just play it as it lies. Well, why not with the player, too? There's really no advantage there. So I think there's been there have been many of those sorts of changes where we've eliminated the penalty where the player is not getting an advantage. It's still a random or an accidental sort of a situation, and I think that's something to me is really an important theme throughout these changes.
John, was there more of an effort put on simplifying the rules or pace of play, picking up the pace?
I think we looked at a lot of different things. I'll put it to you this way: I think that there were a few guiding themes that I would share with you. I think our overall objective, as I think I said a minute ago, was to simply make the rules easier for golfers to understand and easier for them to apply for golfers all over the world. And that gets to a couple of other things. We wanted to consider these revisions with all golfers in mind, not just the elite players, the elite professionals or amateurs, but also beginners and high handicappers and club and recreational golfers from all around the world. Today golf is a global game. It's played in places that it wasn't played in 20 or 30 years ago and under different cultures. At the same time, with this change, from the very beginning, we knew that we wanted to continue to play golf. And so as a fundamental a fundamental principle and characteristic we wanted to retain was that we would be playing golf. So some of those principles that the game has had since its inception is play the ball as it lies and the course as you find it. We were rock solid in wanting to retain that. We're still going to be playing golf even with all of this change. Those principles have not been lost. But I think really three words: consistent, simple, and fair. And we think if we can create consistency within with these proposed changes, we can make the rules simpler and more fair. Then we think the game is more approachable. I don't think that this initiative, we don't believe, is going to bring a gazillion more players to the game. But if it makes the game more approachable and the rules are more easily understood, we think that's good, and more people might just have more fun playing and might play a little bit more golf or start to play the game. So that would be a good thing. Pace of play, sure. We looked at pace of play when we pulled apart this jigsaw puzzle. We looked at every single rule, the history of the rules. Everything was on the table, and we did. We said, okay, let's look at this. Let's look at each rule and see how maybe the rules can be supportive of pace of play. There are a number of changes in there, leaving the flag stick in the hole, going from a five-minute ball search to 3 minutes. Our dropping procedure, we believe, that simplification will help pace of play. Encouraging ready golf for the first time in the order of play is, we think, a good thing for pace of play. I would say this, though. We aren't under any preconceived notions that these changes will result in the average round speeding up by a half hour or an hour. No. But we do think that it's important for the rules to consider pace of play when they're written and in support of the game. It's just one piece of a bigger pie that the entire industry needs to work on to solve our pace of play challenges. And we're pleased about what we've introduced today to help do that.
Yeah, a couple of questions in the couple of minutes we have left. What's the feeling of the governing bodies, and has it changed over the last couple of years about viewers phoning in the violations with regards to the fairness factor of not all the players in the field on camera?
Well, let's talk about that. That's a great question. You're probably touching on a little bit of the video review sort of concept. As rules officials, and it's kind of a standard operating procedure for us to try to, in getting a ruling right, to seek all information that we can. Whether it's from a caddy, another player, a member of the gallery, or from video review. And so we use video simply to get it right, in an effort to get it right. And certainly there are some that say, well, you ought to just not use video and let whatever that referee decides on the golf course stand. And we've looked at that, and we use video simply to protect the integrity of the championship. And there are times that if we just let it stand on the golf course, then we would potentially, in some instances, get to the end of the competition. The competition closes and something surfaces later that would taint that championship, taint that winner, evidence that would come up later. And we think that would compromise the integrity of the championship. So we want to try to gather all information that we can. I'll tell you this, too. People often think of the armchair rules official not fair to those that aren't on the camera. But, you know, video review can help players, too. I could give you an example at the back-to-back Open Championships at Pinehurst. On the 10th hole in the final round, I think he had a 4 or 5 shot lead. Martin Keimer, we had dozens of calls saying that he had double hit his golf ball from the sandy area to the right of the 10th green, hitting his pitch shot on. Well, we went in and reviewed that, and it was clear that he had not, and so it exonerated him. The very next week, on the 16th hole, Michelle Wee had a couple shot lead going into that 16th hole at Pinehurst, that long par four, and she hit her approach shot into the tall fescue and couldn't find it. And there were 10 or 15 people helping her find it. Well, video review, the TV cameras allowed us to help her find that golf ball. We pointed our referee right at it because of video review. Otherwise, they might not have found it. She went on to find it, played on the putting green, went on to win the championship. So video can help players. You don't often hear about that. You often hear about how it catches players. And that's not really our primary reason for using it. We use it to protect the integrity of the championship, as I described.
Before I let you go, these are proposed changes due to go in effect January 2019. How do you want to hear from golfers? What's the best way for somebody listening today to give you their input?
Sure, John. Thank you for that. I think we absolutely want to hear from golfers. Considering the scope and magnitude of what we're proposing, we've created a portal on our website, usga.org/rules, usga.org/rules. Golfers can go there and find two things. One, they'll find a survey that will take them through the rules, and they can provide feedback on every rule or some of them or just basic general feedback through that survey. They can call us here at Golf House. They can send us an email. They can make a social media post, and we'll look at all of that as we go forward over the next 6 months. What they can also find at usga.org/rules is a wide array of explanatory materials, an overview document that shares the entire project in just a handful of pages and the why behind it and some of the changes and the why behind those videos and infographics and papers that describe why we changed things and why we didn't. It's all there, and golfers can get it at usga.org.
John, I appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk again.
John, thank you for having me.